And welcome, everybody, to Off the Hook Overtime here on YouTube. I'm here in YouTube land, I think, and Kyle, you made it as well?
Yeah, I'm finding my way.
All right. Everybody, Rob, Gila, Alex, y'all in YouTube land?
Yeah, we do. We exist. Right.
Okay, cool. And are we actually on YouTube?
I believe so. We're still, I think, waiting out the delay a little bit.
I have to ask because sometimes we do an entire show and none of it made it out to. And we wonder why we got no calls.
Yeah. No, I think...
Are we
broadcasting? Because I'm not hearing any noise come from YouTube.
I'm not hearing any noise come from YouTube, but my computer's muted, but we're getting word from the chat that things are working, so...
Well, what does that mean? Are they lying to us? Are we, disconnected somehow?
Oh, no, there we are. Okay.
That was okay.
On my end.
All right.
I had my volume down on my browser.
Oh, you need the volume up, Rob. You have to have the volume up. That's important.
Geez, technical, these tiny details.
So we just have a couple more minutes. I know, Alex, you have to run because you're in Sicily. And
I'm gonna hang out for 5-10 minutes.
Yeah,
and then
people for some reason go to bed at 8 o'clock at night there, so you're gonna have to do that. But tell us any other thoughts you have on hope that you want to discuss, maybe using the language of your choice or whatever.
Yeah, I guess I can use the 7 dirty words, but none of those dirty words come to mind in the context of hope. I don't know, maybe motherfucker does.
I don't see how, Alex. I really, for the fact that you're able to do that because we're on the internet. But
yeah.
I don't see how that's appropriate to
it was
the weekend that we just had.
Right?
There's no denying that. But aren't there other words you could use to also express that?
It was fucking fun.
you have children. You know, you're a lawyer. You're in Sicily. There are so many things that show you're better than that.
That's true, I guess. Yeah, but thankfully they're all sleeping. My entire family is sleeping here, so they'll have to go back and listen to the broadcast to see exactly how vulgar I was. I think I think this was a special hope in many ways, and I feel like I say that every time, but this was the first one that comes on the heels of a Hope Conference happening last year, and now the difference is that a decision has been made from on high, presumably, that this is going to be an annual thing. And I think people are excited about that. One of the things that I did as an MC, often before introducing a speaker and trying to warm up the room, would be to ask people to raise their hand if this was their first Hope Conference. And it was extraordinary to me to see that usually around 40 to 50% of the room before one of the major talks that I was introducing had happened were brand new Hope attendees. So that means, I think we're doing something right here. And in as much as we were concerned about not being able to get the word out, the word has gotten out. I think the word of mouth is particularly strong with respect to hope. And I think a lot of the words that people use when talking about hope is the sense of community and why it's and how it feels so much different from any of the other conferences that are out there that focus on cybersecurity or technology. I mean, this is not something that's vendor-driven, right? There's vendors that hang out there, and they're all people working on cool projects like Calyx or NYC Mesh or something like that. You know, these aren't people who are trying to scan your badge to get your information so that they can send you some follow-up marketing material. You know, these are people with whom you want to have a coffee, talk a bit about what their projects are about, and when you pass through the vendor area, you see some really cool wares, you see some cool T-shirts, you meet some cool people, and you don't feel like you're harangued and and you don't feel like you're the target of some kind of massive sales pitch. So I think there's that to me, I think, is something that we have to maintain. And in that maintenance, I think we're going to keep that sense of community that keeps Hope completely different.
Well, I do have to speak to a little bit of that because there is one factor. Obviously, a number of people weren't able to come because of travel issues, because of the fear of coming to this country, which is the fear is not absurd. The fact that people are afraid is what's absurd and makes me super angry, because people should be able to travel where they please and not have to fear being detained for just because we have psychos running things. That aside, yes, a very positive atmosphere. So many people came up to me and said this was the best one yet. The sobering reality is we need more people to come to these things. If we don't have more people coming to these things, we can't do these things. We really needed a couple of hundred more people to be there for this to be a slam dunk where, of course, we're going to do it again. I hope we can. I hope we're able to make it work. I can't say 100% for sure we will be able to do that. We'll find out soon enough. But it's a shame that attendance went down. We knew attendance was down, but it's a shame that so many people, especially in this country, weren't able to make it for one reason or another. Because, as you've pointed out, those talks were great. Those talks were incredible. Controversial, riveting. The environment, the campus, is just such a perfect location for what we do. So much space to move around. A lot going on in the neighborhood as well. People who are hesitant to, I understand hesitancy at something new, but we're hackers. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is trying new things. So, it definitely was a good event. I would much rather we fall short with attendance and have a great event than have a mediocre event that's crowded. I would much rather that. It's just a question of, well, we have to figure out how to make this work and continue doing this, because I think we've got something really good here. I think there are just, one thing that did not lag at all were the speaker submissions, were the workshop submissions. People who wanted to present things, that was enthusiastic as hell. And that tells me that there are a lot of people out there that care. And we also had more people virtually than we did before. So that's good as well. But we also want to have more people to talk to, in person. And, listen to the people who came and hear their feedback and listen to what they say, good or bad. And let's make this thing grow. If we're able to do this every year, and this, as you mentioned, was the first time we ever did it the year after doing it, the previous year. We never did that before. Sometimes it would be 3 years, sometimes it would be 2 years, but every year something was always out of our reach. Well, we've gotten it refined to the point where, with the ease of St. John's and the skills that we've picked up over the decades, we feel we're able to do this and not kill ourselves doing it and get more people involved. That's the other thing, to get more volunteers, more people to take on certain roles, because, the horrible situation that Greg is going through right now, even with that, he was there online, on the phone, to answer questions, contact people, and it just breaks my heart that he wasn't able to be there in person and that he's going through this hell right now. I'm optimistic. I feel like there is a good future for Hope, but we have to really work together to make that happen.
I could not agree more, and you know how I like to disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think of, just – there was something missing from Hope, and it was Greg this year. And and I'm so pleased to hear that he was part of the closing ceremony. That's pretty amazing. I'm going to have to watch that. I'm not sure if it's up on YouTube yet, but when it is, I think we should all give that a listen.
It took us about 20 minutes to figure out how to get the laptop plugged in, but once we did that, Every year it's something, some connector that we don't have. It's look, not everybody knows everything.
Well, part of it, I want to see more of the things we enjoyed seeing and that Alex pointed out as that are emblematic of Hope. I want to see more projects. I got motivated just by seeing other people's projects to figure out what other things I'm doing when I'm not helping with pre-planning and coordinating and stuff. And that invigoration, that's a great thing to take away and get going. What are you doing? What are your projects? Do what you do best, but do it better. Do it now and get active. Get help with what you're doing. Get people excited about what you're doing. If you want to start like a local club or collaborate with people on something that maybe you do need help on, but other expertise coming in could really make it a standout and important thing that is covered at an event maybe the next time Hope comes around. But that craziness with things like AV or little details like that, we want to like tighten up and have all of those things be as high a production value as possible, certainly. But that is kind of a symptom of needing more leadership in some of those roles, more expertise. We want to be able to bring people in, get more help on a lot of that things, because things like that fall by the wayside when people aren't trained up and we don't have someone say that is focusing just solely on the pacing of that. Really, just it's like 5 minutes between talks, so that's actually really hard as far as production goes, and we want to do the best job we can. And when people are stretched thin, and as cool and wonderful as everything was, I really feel a lot of kind of not like, let's say, nervous excitement. I'm excited for what's possible, and I know we'll do our best to regroup and come back just as strong and have something interesting in the future. And I really hope everybody that is interested can be on board and contribute to that discussion going forward. But I feel like we're in a little bit of a transitional period where this is something that, you know, there are a lot of questions and things that we're working on, and a lot of different dynamics are changing, and that goes on, that doesn't go on in a vacuum. Like, Hope feels that, and a lot of people's lives that are being affected, a lot of people have things going on, that energy that people have to expend elsewhere, it, you know, Hope is one of the first things it goes, you know, that's what happens with volunteer organizations. So all I'm saying is as happy as we are, we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to sustain ourselves, to keep interest and excitement up. And if you can't contribute, do some cool stuff, do some cool hacking, and share about it, because we'll do our best to cover what you are doing if it isn't necessarily directly volunteering. But we're open to all of it, and we want to see more of it. That's how I felt.
Yeah, and I'll make one final comment here about Hope, and I think it a difference about this year, and then I'll sign off and head back to bed, you guys. But Kyle mentioned that this issue of really having 5 minutes between speakers and then getting them up on stage, and how that was, you know, very difficult to do from a logistical standpoint. If there were any hiccups there for some of the talks, that part was probably partly my fault in emceeing some of these talks, because we had so many extraordinary questions coming in, not just from people on the floor, but from the virtual attendees. And I think we should focus on that for a second. The virtual attendees were pretty awesome this year, and in emceeing, I had to be inside the Matrix chat rooms for each one of these individual speaker sessions, and I was amazed at the incisive questions that were coming from a lot of the virtual attendees that I then had the privilege of going up to the microphone and relaying over to the speakers themselves. And there was just a great and very healthy amount of participation from the virtual attendees. I hope that we carry on that aspect of the conference, especially in this fraught world where travel to the United States may be more and more difficult over the next couple of years. And the virtual attendees, I think, really added a layer to the conference that we hadn't really seen since the 2020 HOPE, when the entirety of the conference was virtual. So I think we owe them a round of applause or some kind of kudos or accolades. And you know, for bringing what they brought to the conference in a very different way this year. So good for them.
I'd like to add to that. I heard a lot about the HOPE 2020 event in some of people's experience, and I want everyone to understand that was another transformational point for us, because we really had to embrace different technologies, tools that we weren't really necessarily used to, and we've to some degree or another integrated them pretty well as something that is used and now sort of expected at our event.
Are you talking about the pandemic hitting in 2020 when we had a conference scheduled?
Yes, I'm talking about the HOPE 2020 event itself, not necessarily HOPE or that year in general. So all of those tools we have taken to trying to reuse, to expand the use, or at least get better at reintegrating them each year, and hopefully again with trying to do annual events, we'll get into a really good workflow as far as going back and resetting things and starting anew. And we've had to do that with some of our organizational stuff, and that's hard enough with people rebuilding teams and stuff like that, but definitely infrastructure that we adopted from then has stayed with us, and I think it does enhance the experience overall, especially for those that want to participate but they for one reason or another cannot make it. And by having those systems there in this circumstance, as unfortunate as it is, but we knew that it was sort of kind of inconsiderate to be asking people in some certain situations to try to travel, so that having that option really at least made it something that was accessible for people that really shouldn't take the risk to be in person. So I'm really glad for those things being there, and that's part of building more and having more expertise on the back end or in the operational side of planning and producing an event like this. So we need to bring in more people that understand those systems so that they work as well as possible.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I just want to say to you both and to everybody who was associated with HOPE, I think congratulations on really what was a great conference, another, I think, wildly successful one. And I see people in the chat already saying that they're planning on attending HOPE 17 next year. So I think we've inspired a lot of people, and I think changed a lot of lives, and we have to focus on that and also take on board all the criticisms about how we can do this better next year. So I'm looking forward to that. And with that, I'm going to sign off and go back to bed. So congrats to you all. This was such a great deal of fun. I would say amazing fucking amount of fun, to use another one of the dirty words.
Can't, it's the same one. You keep using the same dirty word. At least branch out a little bit.
I guess I should use a different one. Yeah. Oh, boy.
You don't know any others, do you?
I know all seven.
You know what? You're in Sicily. That's a great place to learn more.
That's right. Ma che cazzo dice. You got it.
There you go.
All right. So,
well, enjoy Sicily, a place I have never been and would like to go one day.
You know, I highly, highly recommend it. I've been here many times and still have family here, too. So I will hopefully see you guys in person again before you know it. But I'm going to sign off and go to bed, and I'll let you guys take some phone calls.
We will
do
that.
Congrats. See you all soon.
And thank you,
good
Alex.
Night.
Thank you for everything you did at HOPE, and we will see you again soon.
Only a pleasure. Talk to you all soon.
All
bye.
Right. So that leaves us with Rob, Dila, me, and Kyle, and all the listeners. And we're going to open up the phone lines. The phone number is 802-321-4... It's been a while. I wasn't here last week, so I wiped my memory. 802-321-4225. Do I got that right?
That's correct.
Okay. 802-321-HACK is our phone number. And the phone line is active now, so, wow. Literally 2 seconds after it becomes activated, it rings. That's amazing. Do we have a call? Okay. It's ringing in a weird way. That's something. Okay. And, you know, I have to point out, just as a caution to people, that it's raining, and we have a Verizon, a copper line, and those two things together sometimes result in horrible sounds and hums and buzzes and people not being able to understand each other, cross lines, confusion, hostility, anger. So just be prepared for all of that because it's raining. And I'm sorry. All right, let's see who we have. That's what I'm talking about. You see? Maybe you want to touch something, Kyle, and make that hum go away, if that's possible on our end. All right, well, caller, are you there? Is anybody?
I still hear the hum.
Yeah, there's a hum there, all right. It's a humdinger, one might say. But this could be because of the rain, or it could be because of... we can hear you. We can hear you, and it's possible that the recording is not picking up the hum. So why don't you tell us what's on your mind?
Well, there is also an echo. I was being echoed before I got patched into the show. Wait, is that echo stick? No, I don't hear echo anymore. I hear that. But
I was still plugging everything in.
And I don't hear a hum anymore. So why don't we get to the heart of the matter here? So what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, my ID. This is Lou Raichu from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C.
Yes, now under federal control, I understand.
Oh, yeah, I see the helicopters, the government-owned helicopters from my backyard, actually. I see the cops cruising downtown.
But you actually...
various vehicles aimlessly.
Yeah, you actually have National Guardsmen now as your police? Is that how it's working now?
I believe so. I'm not sure. I was busy watching Hope, and I kind of forgot. I don't understand the situation exactly, but I see them. They're aimless. They're looking for crime that isn't there. They're just forced to be out there.
I don't think they're trained to be cops. I mean, I've never been a National Guardsman, but I don't think it's the same training as what policemen get. And now they're policemen. Okay, so what else is on your mind?
I really think you shouldn't put more than one song as the hold music between talks on the stream, because it really gets annoying when you hear the same song.
Well, the idea is to get you out of the room, okay? If it annoys you, then it's serving that purpose. Because, you know, people have to go to different rooms, and you got to, you know, clear out space and things like that. But, yeah, you know, we've done it before. We've had different pieces. But this time we had the same piece, so we'll try something different next time.
Oh, yeah, if you want people to leave the room, why don't you just play the brown note on loop?
Yeah, you know, people file suit when you do that. It's been tried. We don't want to attack our audience. We just want to prod them a little bit.
Well, then put different music for the stream so that the people watching online don't have to suffer.
Well, you know, you could do something else. Make a sandwich or, you know, go to the bathroom or something. That's kind of the idea as well, to get you moving around a little bit.
Right.
Anything else? Is that all you got out of this weekend?
It was enjoyable. There are lots of different talks that are fascinating, like the, let's see, I'm falling off. Oh, yeah, one that I thought was pretty interesting but hasn't been mentioned here on the previous was the one about computational methods to make karaoke harder. That was pretty interesting. I missed most of that one. Because the hold music was playing over the speaker. Somebody forgot to patch him in.
Yeah, we're aware of that problem, and we're trying to get that rectified, re-recorded, so that... But that's the only talk that happened to, so we're happy that it didn't happen to more. But, yeah, this is a perfect example of what we're talking about when we say we need more help, because we were so short-staffed that didn't get found for, I think, 13 minutes.
Well, hopefully it goes up on the YouTube promptly so I can listen back and see what this guy was able to do, because I only tuned in towards the tail end.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty interesting. Like, he was able to take text from various sources on the Internet and come up with combination of phrases that could fit certain types of songs. And I believe it also worked in different languages, including Mandarin, which is pretty interesting.
Wow. See, I didn't see that talk, but I've heard reports of it, and it sounds fascinating.
Right. I tried to come up with alternate lyrics for some well-known songs myself, so I thought that was a pretty interesting for one to me, there, since that's essentially what I was trying to do with my human brain. What else? Well, again, the whole music, gotta change it. It really is annoying. I did broadcast Hope XV last year on analog TV. I was lucky enough to get my modulator, and I just hooked it up to a cheap RF, Chinese RF amp, and with a... Should I mention... Well, yes, I did use the proper notch filter to make sure not putting any garbage out there on the air, but it was fun. It was fun trying to keep that up during the hottest days of the summer. I can't tell you various failures that have occurred, but I chose not to do it this year because, well, first of all, it's only a watt and a half. I don't even have a watt meter to know how much I'm putting out. But second, again, it's analog. I have no way to see if people are actually benefiting from this, you know? I've talked about this before, you know.
Well, you can't even... You wouldn't be able to tell if anybody was watching if it was digital as well. I mean, you know, it's over the air.
Well, about the architecture of TCP/IP, you know, you send me, and the Internet in general, I believe, you send me your, if you're looking at it, that gets logged, right? You send the server a request for the data, and you get it back, so that request can be logged. Therefore, you can know how many people are interacting.
Not if they're watching over the air. Not if they're picking up a digital signal. I assume that's what you're referring to.
Oh, right. I was talking about Internet.
Okay, but wait. When you broadcast analog, you're not doing that over the Internet, right?
Well, Hope was being broadcast over the Internet, so I took the video stream from the Internet and just rebroadcast it over analog TV. I have no way to know if anybody... actually saw it. That's the thing, though. Usually what the pirates do is that they'll give you a phone number, some way to reach out, and from there they can see how many people, gauge what kind of interest is espoused in the community.
Well, I mean, if someone would have to have an analog TV without a digital converter and just happen to be tuning to the frequency that you're broadcasting on.
Now, here's the thing. Our digital ATSC TVs are mandated by the government to also be able to tune to NTSC, the analog standard. So any digital TV that is capable of receiving digital signals also must receive NTSC.
Interesting.
Analog signal.
Okay. Has that ever been done?
I've done it on an old Samsung TV. I plugged my modulator, RF modulator, into the TV, and it told me the signal was analog. It was able to show me the signal strength and such like that. But it did show up, so no problems there. And I also tried it on a newer Samsung TV, one of the ones that you could go to the store and get, and it still knows how to decode NTSC, so it's not going away anytime soon. The point is, I didn't put any sort of feedback mechanism. I didn't have time to try and figure out how to overlay graphics on the screen to say, call this number, stuff like that.
Right.
It was very difficult for me, and I also didn't have a lot of the equipment, and that's part of the reason I didn't attempt to do it again. I mean, I don't have access to the roof, so the antenna is just in the backyard, so that's also hampering signal reception.
Well, it was a worthy effort the first time, and at least you can say you did it.
Hey, yeah, maybe I'll try it again in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Maybe. I mean, I'll be at home, you know, whenever I feel the time is right, whenever I'm able to. I mean, it is a big commitment being from D.C. You got to invest all kinds of time, effort, money just to go to get down to another city for 3 days and watch this thing.
You just got to get on a train. That's all you got to do.
Amtrak, yeah, I'll be taking Amtrak for sure. I'm pretty sure that's probably one of the cheapest ways to move around in this country anyway. So.
Uh-huh, and fastest, too. So hopefully we'll see you at a Future Hope, and you can give a workshop on what you did and maybe get other people to do it, too.
Yeah. Okay, now, about Rebel, who's might, hopefully somebody gets in before me, but...
Yeah, Rebel was there, by the way. I greeted him a couple of times, but never actually had a conversation with him.
I was listening to Hackers Got Talent by Jason Scott. Always love the Jason Scott.
Oh, Jason Scott. We didn't mention him. Yeah, he is incredible.
Right. I always check out the Hackers Got Talent the previous years as well. It's always been interesting since inception, but this is the second time Rebel has presented his talent, the Hackers Got Talent.
Wow.
In this particular case, it was a phone song he made up when he was 10. I think he was born this way. It's the phones.
Well, I think I've heard this song before, too, because I remember this conversation where Rebel presented something from his past, from his distant past.
And then there's these two other guys who did the Free Software song by Richard Stallman.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'll have to look at this. It sounds fascinating.
Join us now and free the software. Hackers, hackers, you'll be free. All right. Okay, I think that's all I have to add. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry I missed it. Thank you for being a part of it. And we'll talk to you next time.
All right. See you.
Take care. And Rob, you have something.
Yeah, Hackers Got Talent was fantastic, as always. Gila and I had the great pleasure of being asked to be judges there by Kusanagi, who we had on last week's program. And Jason Scott, emceed and wrangled the whole thing, and it was a joy. Yeah, Rebel sang a song. A couple of people juggled. People made noises. People did all sorts of things.
I was martial arts. I was out. Actually, I was over at the Emerald Pub. just meeting people. I had a beer or two, but I went over there. We brought the 2600 van and talked to some of the frack people who were giving out frack magazines. They were awesome. They were amazing. They made the whole thing so much fun. But at some point, I looked at my phone to see how Hackers Got Talent was doing, and I saw somebody juggling. I said, "Boy, this is the epitome of talent right there. Someone juggling on my phone," and it was awesome.
There was a really lovely moment, actually. Someone had signed up, hadn't even signed up, came at the last minute and volunteered and said, "I would like to juggle. Does anybody have anything I can juggle?" And someone else who had signed up to juggle and had juggling balls in their backpack just threw them up at the stage. So,
of course.
Didn't throw them, walked up to the stage and handed them off to the other juggler. But the fact that, you know, everybody's willing to share and cooperate, and it was a really lovely community moment.
Yeah, we had two jugglers with one set of balls between them, and mm-hmm.
Wait a minute,
of that too. Is,
yeah, I mean,
no, people, no. But
they weren't juggling at the same time. They were juggling separately.
No, but and the fact that somebody who had signed up to juggle enabled somebody to come up and compete directly with them. Is just in keeping with the spirit of the whole thing. It was a lot of fun. It was a highlight.
Yes, and if you didn't see it live, when you have the opportunity, we encourage you absolutely to do so. And check out our winner, and congratulations to the winner of Hackers Got Talent, who reproduced noises he makes for his children.
Yes, a very nice man called Theodore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's a weird description, but it sounds fascinating nonetheless. And, the videos will be out. Some production needs to be done on them, obviously, smooth out the rough edges. And we have to recover still. You know, I'm still confused as to when I'm supposed to be asleep and when I'm supposed to be awake. You know, I love these weekends, but boy, they take a toll.
Emmanuel, I do have a question, though.
Hmm?
Do the live streams, the live streams are still extant, right, on YouTube?
I believe so. I believe so.
So if somebody wanted to, they could pull up the Marillac live stream from Saturday and just scan right through the first 12 hours.
They'd have to,
Hacker's Got Talent,
they'd have to find the actual URL. But, yes, I believe it's still there. Just search for Marillac or Hope or something like that, and you'll get it. But you'll get a much more polished version that won't have, like I said, rough edges around it. And that takes a little bit of time to put together, but we're working on it.
We're excited. Also, wanted to say hello, 40 minutes in, to the 50-ish people who are with us right now on YouTube. And especially wanted to, first of all, shout out our friend Tim in Connecticut, who announced that he pre-purchased the flash drive at the 2600 store because no one can physically be at all the talks at the same time.
Very true.
So he's already excited to get caught up. TL Jordan, who got to their first workshop and got their technician's license in a workshop at Hope.
Awesome.
Congrats.
Very exciting. Attendees, people talking about it. The weather in New York this weekend was a little sticky, a little humid, not as bad as Las Vegas.
It was good on Friday and Saturday, but Sunday it started to get oppressive. But that's, you know, again, motivation to move.
We also got stuck in a rainstorm, which is great fun. I was carrying a small bag, which would not fit an umbrella. whereas, you know, the person I carried to work today had two umbrellas in it. I have a Mary Poppins bag, what can I say?
Well, I think you've said enough, but let's go to the phone call, who's been waiting patiently.
Yeah, we have a phone call.
Okay, let's see who's here. Good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, I enjoyed Hope, as always.
Hi, Rebel. How are you? You know, I wasn't very social because I was moving very fast, but
you were busy, of course.
You looked like you were having a lot of fun. You had an entourage with you, too.
Well, you know, and they couldn't cut. They wanted to come, but it was too expensive, and it was just...
Well, wait, I met them at the conference. What do you mean they wanted to come? They were at the conference.
No, this was before the conference, on Friday, that Friday afternoon, or was it Thursday night, or...
Well, Friday was the conference, so it must have been Thursday. So, okay, so they actually didn't enter the conference. They were escorting you.
Well, they're going to pay $250.
Well, they could have paid $225 if they got it in advance.
That's still too much.
It's not. I mean, it's what it costs. I mean, look at any conference. That's what they charge. Because, you know, you got to pay a lot of bills.
I enjoyed Hacker's Got Talent. And, I didn't really know what to do with Hacker's, but I just, you know, said, you know, people are acting silly. And
are there two people talking at once? Sounds like there's two people talking at once.
Okay, well, we'll get to you in a second.
We'll get to who in a second.
Yeah, there were people.
I need to know what I'm signing up for here, Rebel. You can't just, like, spring surprises on me. You know I don't like that.
I didn't really want to. I mean, you know how I sometimes make a, you know.
Rebel, I would never say that, and you shouldn't say that either.
No, I mean, you know how, people were acting the way they, you know, if people were acting silly, I didn't feel bad about being silly. And then I got applause. I mean, people were happy with it. They were applauding, they were, you know.
The silly people are what make the world what it is, okay? You know, Winston Churchill, extremely silly person, but he got a lot done.
Right, I wasn't for the prizes, you know, I didn't make second place, but, you know, it was just everyone having fun.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I hope you did have fun as well. It looked like you were having a blast.
Yeah, I was, and I was very, and, I mean, I walked into talks that were kind of interesting, and I just, you know, didn't plan on going to them, and I just, you know, like the hacking wireless networks, you know, very interesting, and, you know, some of the talks go a little fast, and they're a little old. You know, they it's fast paced and you kind of got to get a grasp on it. You know what I mean? Like they talk technical and
sure. Yeah, everyone's at a different level, and you kind of have to adjust every time you walk into a room because it might be you know, faster than your pace, slower than your pace, and the same thing goes for workshops as well.
Right, and in the network, where I was asking questions there, and that they were telling us how things work, and you know, it's interesting.
Wow. Okay. Any closing remarks before we move on to other calls?
No. All right. Well, let's take the next listener. Well, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yeah, that's not how it works, Rebel. But it's great to hear your voice, and also I'm thrilled that you had a good time. And
no, I'm pretending our next listener phone call.
Yes, well, you don't need a phone to pretend that. We'll talk to you certainly before the next conference, and hopefully we will see you at the next conference.
Yeah, we'll patch you in next time.
I'm sorry, Kyle, you were not up. Go ahead, say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we'll patch you in next time, Rebel, when we have the phone lines worked on. We're actually. A technician's on the way right now.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
You believe that?
Well, the window is like between now and
June,
end of the month.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Verizon anytime soon. 802-321-4225 is our telephone number. If you are at Hope, we'd like to hear from you because we have something in common because we were all at Hope. And it's good when people have something in common and can talk on the telephone about that. Gila has something to contribute. Go ahead, Gila.
Yes, so Lou Ray Chu has a question that they forgot to ask on the phone, but is very kindly asking it in the chat and not calling us back. Thank you very much. The question is Hope still going to have a unique name for every year, or are they all going to be called Hope underscore the number?
Well, okay, first of all, this is the first time we did that, so to assume that we're going to just keep that a format is, well, it's presumptuous, for one thing. You know, when we had H2K, then we did H2K2 because nobody saw that coming. Everyone thought the next one was going to be H2K4. But, of course, the next one was the Fifth Hope. So, no, we never do it what's expected of us. But we are always open to suggestion and ideas. And, you know, there's only so many words. So please help us come up with other ideas for Hopes. The 17th one, what's that going to be called? I don't know. It's going to be in 2026, presumably. So we'll have to see. But please put your thinking caps on now and... We'll come up with something together. This is a perfect example of how we need more people to help us because can't have the same people figuring it all out every time. It's got to it's got to move. It's got to change. And we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to ask a quick question. Is there a way to see like a Hope discussions online? Is there a way to see it now? Like, is it on your website or anything like that?
It's not on our website. I understand it's somewhere out there on the internet. You're talking about the Hope Conference, right?
Yeah, like the conference. You don't upload it on your website after the conference?
We don't, but we will. I mean, it'll be on this channel. It'll be on YouTube in a bit. We're doing all the editing and getting the titles right and things like that. But there is a rough cut out there. I just don't have the address handy. But if you search for it, you'll probably find it. Just search for St. John's Hope 2025, and it should come right up.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. That was my question. Thank
you. All right.
You.
Take care. Yeah, it's always good to be able to see these things in the future. And, of course, we have all of the conferences from the first one. In fact, we actually had that at this conference. We had a whole bunch of flash drives that people could buy from the first Hope in 1994 up until last year's Hope. And you could even pre-register for the next one when it comes out, and it'll be mailed to you. Yes, Rob.
So for folks looking for the rough cuts of the Hope Talks, you can find them on YouTube if you go to the channel of the Internet Society, who are the team that collaborates with us to get things recorded and posted and everything. So if you go to their channel, which is ISOC Live, that's ISOC Live on YouTube, They have an area there called Past Live Streams, and you can see the long videos that are each day's talks in each room. So like 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hour long talks, a couple of 12 hour long ones, videos that you will have to scan around and find the talks you want. You can go to hope.net to see the schedule and maybe figure it out where in the video you want to be. But so those are the rough cuts.
It's rough. It's not easy to maneuver. But if that's what you need now, that's how to get it. And by the way, iSuck Live is not exactly the same as Internet Society. And I don't even know how to explain that, but it's it gets very complex on all levels. So we're trying to make it simple. We're trying to make it digestible. And we will. We always do. So, Kyle, do we have another phone call? You were doing a bunch of wiring just now.
Can you just test the dial tone?
Well, you have the phone. Yeah, look at that. Sounds good.
Okay.
Can you hit a 3? Yeah, it sounds good. That sounds good.
Yeah, I'm working on it. We're going to get
No, I think you're fine.
The person dialed has not been recognized.
Wait, it's a 3. What do you mean it hasn't been recognized? What's wrong with her? That's the phone lady. She, of course you should recognize a 3. What did you hit this time? That was another 3?
No, it was a 2.
A 2.
She might recognize a 2, not a 3.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized.
What's wrong? She's in the wrong position. I mean, anybody else should be doing this. All right, 802-321-4225 is our phone number. If you've been at Hope, please give us a call and tell us your experiences.
Should I try the other hybrid?
No, I think it's fine, Kyle. I don't think...
I'm having fun experimenting.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the hum is not bad. It's a.
It's just I have a little more free time now, so I was
yes,
just
that's true.
We
all have some free time.
I've been meaning to get to the phones here. Like, we want to do a little maintenance... Do a little, rehab, little...
Well, there's always these things that you've neglected when preparing for a conference like this. So I'm playing catch-up now. So
that's what I'm talking about.
By the time I catch up, it'll be ready for the next conference, and it just goes on and on and on. So 802-321-4225. We'll give it a few more minutes, and if we don't get more calls, we will sign off for the night and go back to sleep because we're still catching up.
We certainly are. Okay, so we did have a couple of suggestions of names for the 2017 conference. Excuse me, for the 17th conference, not the 2017 conference.
Okay,
sorry.
All right.
Tim in Connecticut suggests Hope 17, The Happening. And I hope I don't get arrested for what I'm about to say, but our friend Fun Fox suggests Hope 17, Still a Minor.
Wow. Okay.
You know, I just read them. I don't make them up.
That implies we're a minor conference, though. You know, we're not a minor. We're a major conference.
It also implies that some creepy person out there now has a countdown to Hope 18, which is just ick.
Sort of creepy person.
Speaking of names, did anybody hear the new name for MSNBC?
Yes.
I had an article here, and now it's... I think, Kyle, you took my article, didn't you? It's called MS Now, and I forget what it stands for, but it's the stupidest thing ever.
News something in events.
Can you try it now?
I had that article. Did you take my article? Why would you take my article?
I'm taking it.
All right, well, please bring it back, because that has what MS Now, which is their new name, stands for, which I think is the dumbest thing ever. And if they have this much trouble coming up with a name for a news network, we've hit it out of the park with almost all the hopes. Thank you very much.
All right, so...
Yeah, it stands for... Hold on, I found it. My source for news, opinion, and the world. Dumbest name ever. I mean, they obviously use that just to fill it out. But, come on, you could do better than that. You really could. I think you could do better.
Did you see the new logo, by the way?
Did they make a logo already?
They did.
Yeah, I see that.
Like a kind of half a flag.
What is that supposed to be? I don't understand that.
I think it's half a flag.
And they have little sections. My source, news, opinion, world. So, okay, right away, what's the difference between news and world? Okay, world news, and what, regular news isn't world news? What's my source? What's that supposed to be? Opinion, I get. That's the only one that makes sense. You won't have the peacock. No more peacock. Okay, you know, there's worse things. But get a different bird, you know? Look, we criticize Fox a lot, but they're good at getting their name out there. You notice how every Fox affiliate has Fox in the name? It's not the same for NBC stations, ABC, CBS. They don't do that. I think it's better to have individual identity, but the Fox stations quietly have been inserting Fox in front of every channel number in the country, and that way you know where Fox is. It's scary, but it's effective, and I don't know. I'm not saying emulate that. I'm saying that's a contrast to coming up with weird words just to spell out an acronym.
I think lots of local affiliates do that, though.
Yeah, name one that's not Fox.
NBC4, ABC7.
They don't call themselves that, though. They don't call themselves that.
They talk about it that way. But the other thing is, I think that especially in other media markets, like here, you don't have to give the call letters because it's all ABC, NBC, whatever. CBS, thank you. But at the same time, you know, when I was growing up and Fox became a thing and one of the channels, like Channel 42, got repurposed from I don't even know what it was and became the local Fox affiliate, they needed to, like, tell us it was that and not some bizarre thing up there.
Which
but,
you don't remember because they didn't put their name in front of it like Fox does. So, yeah, that's my point.
Right. But I think in other cities, certainly, that are not NBC, excuse me, are not New York and LA, the call letters for each station. So, like, in Omaha, it was, you know, Channel 6, WWT, NBC Omaha.
Okay, yeah. Well, those were O&O, owned and operated stations. There used to be a limit of five throughout the country, and New York had WCBS, WABC, WNBC, and LA had KCBS, KABC, KNBC. Interesting fact, KCBS radio is in San Francisco, but KCBS TV is in Los Angeles. That's true.
See, that's a fun fact.
I'm filled with fun broadcasting facts.
We know this. Also, I'm going to go ahead and preemptively say that I'm sure you have thoughts about the redistricting going on in California and Texas, but we're not going to address them right now.
Then why did you bring it up?
Because it was a question in the chat.
I thought you were bringing it up. Okay. I don't look at the chat, so I don't know.
My brain doesn't work. I know. That's why I do this. I'm the chat relay.
It is the craziest thing what they're doing in Texas. I just cannot believe it. And of course, you have to respond to it. Why is everybody always criticized when Democrats respond to something crazy the Republicans do? It's like, well, don't be like them. Well, if you're not like them, you lose, you know, because they get away with it and you don't, and then you lose. So, yeah, I guess it's war now. That's the short version.
All right, listener, I hope that answers your question.
Does it?
Can we check the dial tone?
No, we're going to check the dial tone again. This is so exciting. Go ahead. What, you made it further away by a lot.
Is that well, it's a different hybrid.
Well, it's not a good one. It's very far away. Very low. And I hear an off-the-hook tone coming from somewhere else.
The telephone keeps ringing.
All right, we don't need that now.
I'm sorry. It's Pavlovian by this point.
You know what else bothers me, as long as we're on the subject of identity? Baseball teams. Have you noticed that you are now required to know what the logo of every team means? They don't tell you the city anymore. They just give you the logo, and you're supposed to know who's playing whom based on that. You know, you just see like a C. I saw a C the other day. What does that mean? Is that Chicago? Is that Cincinnati? Is that Cleveland?
That's Cincinnati.
How do you know that? How do you know? Who told you that? It's programmed into your mind what their logos look like, and I don't.
It's not a big agreed. Red C. It's a Cincinnati Reds. It's a big red C.
It's not Chicago, and there's two Chicagos too. So it could
right.
be one of them.
And the reason that it couldn't be a C for Chicago is because there are two teams in Chicago. So you know what the Cubs.
Well, okay, there's two teams in New York, and they both have NY, and I get confused sometimes and forget which one is which. Yeah, I said it. I can't tell the Mets from the Yankees sometimes.
Are you colorblind?
No, it's just both, I don't know their logo. Blue? I don't memorize their logos. Look, they should be grateful I memorized their nickname, all right? Why can't they just put the name of the city like they used to? And it's football as well. It's hockey. It's every sport. Even if you master baseball, you I've never put those words together before. Wow. Okay, but
can we do another dial tone test?
Kyle is just quietly testing the dial tone. Here's the dial tone. It's still far away.
You want me to make it not far away?
I want it to be close like it was. Didn't we just get a phone call?
Oh, my gosh.
And now we don't have a phone call. Now we have the opening of our show.
We can sing again.
Even if you conquer baseball, then you still have other sports where you have to memorize their logos. And they probably want you to do that with corporations as well. You know, I prefer words. I've learned letters and words and sentences and things like that. Let's use those. That's it. I'm done.
My suggestion for baseball teams is that they, like, find a more interesting game to play.
Hey. Baseball is a fascinating game to play. It's one man versus another man. Sometimes one woman versus another woman. But usually it's softball for some reason. And it's you know, yeah, it takes a long time. But and they're ruining it by making it faster. But it's a whole lot more interesting than football, where they just do the same thing over and over and over again, somehow fill stadiums, and somehow that lasts 3 hours and nobody complains. So don't even get me started on that. And if I understood cricket, I would be defending it too. I keep trying, and it doesn't work.
You got to know what a crumpet is to understand cricket.
No, you don't. And I'll tell you how I learned about cricket.
How did you learn about cricket?
All right, don't laugh. But there was a Google Doodle for the cricket World Cup, and you get to be a cricket standing there with a cricket bat, and you hit the ball with the stick. This is my favorite Google Doodle ever in history. I keep a link to it just in case I ever want to go play cricket and blow off some.
But games. None of that indicates that you understand cricket.
Well, if you hit the ball far enough, then you get to run back and forth, and it goes boop, 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 and then all the snails in the stands cheer.
Yeah, that's true. You go back and forth. I don't know. There's just so much going on. And that, why is the score 463-1? Why is that?
No, that much I can't tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you see, that's the question I always have, and I never get an answer. Do we have a phone call?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Some constructive criticism. You have to do a little better. The program tonight was basic, especially the overtime. I sort of switched off self-congratulatory. I don't want to use the words that you've been objecting to. In spirit, the rap was, you know, it pleases you guys. It was a good conference, and we understand that, meaning the listeners. The really interesting part of the show was the Doge interview, and I wish you'd played it again in overtime or something of that caliber. And, you know, again, I am a regular caller, and I mean this in the best possible way. For yourself better. I understand that you put a lot into the whole conference, but as I said, for me, this show was incredible.
Well, okay, but you're saying you want us to play more of the whole conference, but we talked about the whole conference too much.
Conference, but the interesting bit, you know, that was gold. That was really good, and I liked what you said, and I liked Alex's analysis. I hope he is the lawyer who's gonna listen to it carefully and find some argumentations to use this in court.
Well, maybe he'll be there.
You know, I envisioned the defense that Doge and the government could have. That is, oh, this guy doesn't even have a job title. You know, I can see them coming back with that, which he pretty much stays in his, you know, he's just an advisor to the whatever. So. You know, they have this rubber structure that basically insulates them because you're like trying to hit the wind, you know. You're trying to punch to the wind, and at least that's the way they see it. But it seems from what this guy said that that's the defense that they're gonna impregnate their argument.
I think I get it.
But
yeah.
Again, this is more for Alex to device and endeavor, and you know, he does this for a living. So I hope he takes it on and dissects it and sees something useful that can be used for it.
Well, I'll be sure to make sure that gets to him in case, you know, in Sicily he doesn't get the
yes,
message.
Yes, I know he's. Yeah. I hope he comes back.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's coming back. All right. Thanks for your call and your feedback. And if you have feedback to the Hope Conference, write to feedback@hope.net. Let us know if you were there, if you were virtual, or if you just were listening on the radio. That caller was choppy. Did you notice that? We had audio, then we it was in the distance. Was that on his end or on our end that was happening? It was weird. I guess the only way to find out is to get another phone call. 802-321-4225. Now, speaking of sports, we didn't talk about soccer or European football or basically Earth football that we don't recognize. How do I go to the damn World Cup? It's going to be in this country next year, and I have no idea how to get tickets because you have to sign up for things with FIFA, you know, the global authority. And then you buy something for the right to buy a ticket to the World Cup. It's insane. You have to somehow be recognized before you're even able to try and buy a ticket to a game. I don't have all day to figure out how their system works. I just want to buy a damn ticket to something. You know, it doesn't even have to be the United States or, you know, any team I've ever heard of before. I just, you know, want the experience. But it seems almost impossible. It really does. And maybe it's not, you know, I'm sure I'm making it a lot harder than it needs to be. But if anyone out there knows how to do it, I'd like to know. Yes,
you know, a friend of ours was asking us earlier today, coincidentally enough, if, you know, they're from out of state and they were asking us if we're going to go see the upcoming production of Twelfth Night at Shakespeare in the Park. And to which I replied, you know, we'd love to, but, you know, the process for getting tickets to that, and those are free tickets, and the process is so convoluted. You have to be a member of something to get a chance to get something, or you have to stand in a line and get a chance to maybe get to the end of the line, and, you know, you might not sit together, and there's a whole rigmarole to go through, and at the end of it, you may or may not get in to see the show.
I just thought you went to Central Park and showed up and got to see Shakespeare. I had no idea you had to get tickets.
Oh, yeah. You have to stand in line, and there's no guarantee of how many. It's like going to get rush tickets for a show, but all of the seats are like that. Well, and, again, there's no guarantee about how many seats are going to be available for sale on any given day. You have to get to Central Park at, like, what, 4:30 in the morning? And I love everybody who's in the cast, and obviously I'm a gigantic Shakespeare person, but...
You say 4:30 in the morning people line up for this?
I did indeed say 4:30
right,
in the morning,
look,
yes.
What's to stop somebody from putting on another Shakespeare play on the other side of the park, you know, for kind of a overflow?
Yeah,
right.
So will you get Peter Dinklage and Lupita Nyong'o.
And Sandra Oh.
There are a lot of Shakespearean actors out there, a ton of them.
The newly renovated theater. Emmanuel.
Yes.
There is an FAQ about signing up for tickets.
Yeah, I read those things, and sometimes I wind up more confused than when I began. I just want to – look, I shouldn't need to read a file to know how to buy a ticket. How do I buy the damn ticket? That's all I want to know. Yeah. Who do I call? What website do I go to? Well, how do I pay? Done. That's all I want.
You can't even do that yet. But tickets aren't available for sale.
So it's too early. When do they go on sale? Nobody seems to know that either.
Will there be a ticket? Ooh. Will there be an opportunity to purchase tickets directly at the stadium? No.
Well, that's clear at least. What if they don't sell out? I mean, you know, it's possible they won't sell out all the games.
Ooh. Ooh. Emmanuel.
You sound like Rebel now. What?
Sorry, I found out something that might be exciting.
Okay.
Okay. And I do have to ask a slightly intrusive question.
It's none of your business. I'll just get that out of the
okay.
way now. All right.
That's fine. Do you have a Visa card?
I have all the cards, okay. Well, okay, no, wait, okay. Hold on a second. I don't have Discover.
Which is fine. They're doing a pre-sale draw for people. They're, I mean, obviously they're assuming that interest is far going to outpace availability. So this way, you can say, I would be interested in maybe purchasing a ticket if I had the opportunity to do so. And if you have a thingy and, oh my God, okay. So, and I am sounding like Rebel. This is terrible. So if you have a Visa card, you can pre-apply for the raffle-ish.
Raffle?
Between September 10th and September 19th if you have a Visa card. Then they'll draw names at random after the application window closes on the 19th. They'll let you know by the 30th. You will then be assigned a date and time slot in October during which you can visit to buy tickets.
Oh, for God's sake.
There's not necessarily a guarantee that you'll be able to get them anyway.
It's like a crappier Sierra adventure game.
Legitimately, I think your best shot for seeing World Cup games would be to make sure you got a good sports channel and get comfy on the couch.
Look, it doesn't happen all that often, and it certainly doesn't happen in this country all that often. So, you know, who are all the people that get to see the games? I should be one of them, I think.
I mean, did you go to the Super Bowl?
No, but that's one game. That's one game, one stadium. This is... like dozens of games throughout three countries.
No, I know. I'm just telling you what the... If you want to enter the ticket lottery, that you may win a chance to have the opportunity to go buy tickets.
Well, you know, I saw something a few weeks ago where you could pick... if you want to pick a particular country and assume they go to the final... You can pay for the right to buy a ticket to the final game that they have gone through the entire tournament and gotten to, and you will have the ability to buy a ticket at that point. But you have to pay for that. And if they don't make it to the final, you don't get your money back. So it's basically they're just taking money from people. It's you know, if your team doesn't make it, then you're out. And
how is that not betting on the World Cup?
I don't know, but apparently you can bet on everything now. So
I have heard it's legal in most places. Yeah.
I think we're out of phone calls. I think we're out of listeners.
We still have 46 people.
Well, we'll give it two more minutes. 8023214225. See if anyone else has anything to say. Then we'll be on our way. But I really, you know, that's just been bugging me. All those things have been bugging me. It's good to get it off my chest.
Well, it's good now that you have time to be bugged by other things, now that the conference has been done for the year.
I've got a lot of letters to write, a lot of complaints to make. A lot of things have been bugging me lately.
You know, you can catch up on the backlog
of
grievances.
You have a lot of problems with you people, and now we're all going to hear about it?
Don't think you're not getting a letter, too.
I would never.
In actuality. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it appears Festivus is coming early this year, but Kyle, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, in actuality, we got a lot of organizing and cleaning and other projects that will finally get some attention. We do have a call, though.
All right, let's take that call. And good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, gang. Tim in Connecticut. How you doing?
It's Tim in Connecticut. How are you? Did you have a good time at Hope?
Yes, I did. Out of curiosity, what magical elixir or food do you guys consume to stay up and just participate up that amount of time? I mean, there's lots of things I wanted to attend. I just did not have the juice to do it.
Yeah, I can't explain it. It's something that just drives you, and you just keep going, right? I mean, how would you describe it, Kyle?
That is actually a really good question, Tim. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm fasting a lot. We do have some snacks every now and then. I mean, I'm being very literal in my answer, and I accept that you're sort of complimenting us too, or you're absolutely complimenting us. But it really is just spend a lot of time on your feet, and working towards the goal, which is really to make sure people have a good experience and to make sure that the talks go off without a hitch, with as few hitches as possible, and that we get the information out there, that we get everything captured and recorded, and that people stay safe while they're there. And that's really it, is just working towards that goal. But we probably just getting decent rest. We are up early then and going to bed very late.
I don't know how I did that. I woke up early. I don't wake up early, but I was waking up early every day for this and going to sleep late. So it's it's weird.
It's an unusual combination of things we don't do and things we do normally do. We do stay up late, as a lot of hackers do, but getting up early is a little bit different. But we were just meeting the different milestones and of course, helping with unexpected things at the same time. But definitely hydrating a lot. Because it does get warm when you're working and volunteering and doing a lot of building up and tearing down of the event. But it's really just the sort of alchemy of volunteers that come together and fill in where we cannot. And the people that do what they say they would do, that's an incredible thing, a sort of alchemy of this, that when people commit, they don't overcommit, but they commit and just do what they say they wanted to do, and it turns out. We accommodate, we try to, like, help facilitate things as much as possible, but there are so many people that follow through and just hook up and show off their stuff or help support other people do that, and that really helps us stay, I think, somewhat energized for all the other sort of unexpected things I mentioned. But I don't know, I had a little bit more junk food than I normally do. I think I ate half a donut with E. That's not something we normally eat.
No, I didn't share that donut. That was I had the whole thing.
Stuff like that. Definitely there were volunteer snacks. I don't know if you know, if people out there were not on site or they've never volunteered before, but we have refrigerators and we usually have a basic amount of snacks to live on. If people can't make it to some of the food trucks or get out in the neighborhood and explore some of the wonderful restaurants.
Oh my God, we had some really good food in the local neighborhood. We sushi one night just across the street. There's a couple of Thai places. Of course, Regina's Pizza is you know, if you've never been to New York before, and a number of people, it's their first time in New York. I love hearing people say, I've never been to New York before, this is my first time. You know, going to a pizza place like that and just, you know, knowing what it, how to do it right, it's just great to see that, someone experiencing that for the first time. And of course, we went to Chinatown after the whole thing was over, you know, at night on Sunday night, like around 10 o'clock, and the place in Queens, like, you know, not far away, was hopping. It was, everything was open, and we wound up going to this place that was like an imitation of a Chinese village 150 years ago. It was so incredibly fun. And all these things, all these, you know, we learn more about Queens every time we go there, but there is just so much to do. And that's why I want to make sure everybody gives it a chance, because a lot of people write off Queens thinking, oh, it's not Manhattan, so it's out in the boonies. Oh, boy, you do not know what you're missing. There is just so much there. But I got to say, you know, Thursday, I had no energy whatsoever. We arrived on Wednesday, and Thursday was hot and muggy, and I couldn't even climb the stairs. But Friday got better. I had a ton of energy Friday, and the weekend was fine. And, you know, you realize there's less time with every day ahead. And that gives you more of a push.
Yeah, for people in advance of the event, a lot of the work is done prior to it. So really letting go a little bit is the test for us in a lot of ways, because we've nurtured the whole thing, helped get everyone kind of connected and information to people that are working on different parts of the event. And we have to kind of do our best to set the stage, really quite literally, but then you have to kind of sit back and help people adjust things as you go, but otherwise just watch the show with everyone else and hope for the best. So that itself is, like E said, less work, but just seeing the result of it and seeing it through to completeness.
So, Tim, what were some of your highlights?
Oh, well, a lot of my highlights were the CIA talks. They were extremely interesting, mainly because you see it from a different point of view that you never see online or in the paper or anything like that.
Uh-huh, yes, absolutely.
You know, the gentleman that was talking about the renditions and capturing high-quality people, the VIPs, that plus the tracking of streaming films on the internet was interesting, of how it's done and what they track.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and for this reason, why I always buy the USB stick is because I can't be in every place at once.
That's true. That's true. In fact, you were quoted as saying that.
Yes, and the nice thing about the USB stick, it has that HTML menu on it, so you can go just like in the guide. You can go to every individual talk off of that stick.
Right. Yeah, we try to make things simple and legible and literate. You know, you have to battle sometimes to do that, but we want to make something that lasts and stands the test of time.
The other thing, though, that I liked was that this time I could buy it right at the 2600 store.
Uh huh. Yes.
Instead of waiting till it come home and then. You want it's available, you know, on the 2600 page, and then buy it then.
Right, right. You know, another thing that we have extra shirts, extra Hope 16 shirts that we are going to be putting on the store probably in the next day or so. So we don't have a lot, so they might go fast.
The other thing with that is, at least I know I can go to the store and get the current T-shirt in my size.
That's
true. I don't have to worry about a limited selection afterwards.
Hey, Tim, can we just do a little audio test now that I got you on the line here?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to pull this.
I think we lost him.
So, Tim, you can't hear
me. He just went away.
No, he's there.
He's there.
God's sake, Kyle. I'm wearing headphones. You know, you just get my ears. He sounds much better, though.
I cannot hear anything, but the buzz went away.
I guess we're the buzz.
Tim, can you hear us now?
It's back.
Okay. The buzz is back, but, you know, I don't think the buzz is recorded.
Can you hear us? Tim, you can't hear us. Can you hear us now?
All right, enough, Kyle.
All right, I'm just breaking things. Tim, you can hear us now, though, right?
That is correct. Now I can hear you. Before, the hum would come and go, but I did not hear anybody ask me anything.
Such a pain. All right, we're going to redo a bunch of equipment in here. We'll definitely dedicate a little. I'm going to stop touching. All right, I'll stop touching.
Now, Tim, you can still hear us, right?
I can understand the idea of, in your head, you're trying to think of what's doing it.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of probably hard to sleep at night going, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, especially if you have to set up multiple people in order to test it.
I still think it's the rain. I still think that's got something to do with it.
It's just an annoying.
That's possible.
Yeah.
We'll sort it.
Tim, you gave us a phone, right?
Yes, I did. I dropped it off at the store.
That is an incredible phone. I haven't had a chance to really look it over yet. It's still in the van, but 1949, I believe, is when it's from?
At least. Actually, I think it's a little bit more than that. The earphone piece had a part that was marked in 1940-something.
Uh-huh.
I'd have to double-check it, because now the only thing I can do is look at the key pictures that I took of it.
Wow. And where did you find this again? Yeah, I know you talked about it on the air.
Well, my neighbor was clearing out a shed, and he was going to pitch it.
What?
And I said, you know, wait a minute. I would have somebody that would probably like that.
Was your
I just grabbed onto it.
Was your neighbor a homesteader, a pioneer, or something?
No. What? Yeah, the receiver has a cover on it that says November of 55,
uh-huh.
And then the piece that was inside of it said July 11th, 1949.
And that's incredible. It's one of these solid metal pieces.
Absolutely.
And it's just, wow. To think that somebody might throw something like that out, it bothers me so much.
Yes, but, you know, I can understand a lot of people have no regard for what still works, but they can't use it. And consequently, I have a lot of stuff in my house that all works, but I'm not using it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is always a home to be found for these devices, relics of the past. People treasure these things. So if you have one anywhere, any listener out there, don't throw it away. Contact us. We'll find a home for it.
That was the point. That's why, like I said, I could easily just throw it in the car.
Yep. Well, we really appreciate that. Thank you so much, Tim.
No problem.
All right. And
hey, guys, I'm going to get off the line and let somebody else call in.
Well, hopefully not, because we're ready to go. It's 22 after 9. But thank you. Thank you again, and we look forward to seeing you the next one.
You bet. I'll be there.
Take care. Tim from Connecticut. All right. Well, I'm pretty wiped. I've been wiped the last few days, and now I'm wiped afresh. So final words, folks.
Just thanks again to everyone who came out. It was great hanging out. It was great chatting with so many of you. And, yeah, I am already looking forward to next time. And, yeah, give Hope your feedback. Anyway, positive, negative, indifferent, let Hope know what you thought, what was done well, what could be done better.
Yes.
Feedback@hope.net is the email address to do that.
Feedback is key. Thank you to everyone who joined us tonight. We will see you in 2 weeks for overtime. And, you know, take good care of yourself. Self-care is good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And next week, we will be on WBAI 7 to 8 with a call-in show. We ask that people who call in this show don't call in that show because we want to hear from the people who only listen to the radio, because there's a whole lot of them as well, and they always have something interesting to contribute. As Gila said, we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle, let me personally say goodnight to you as well.
Oh, good night. What if I pull this wire?
Oh, for God's sake. You can pull the wires you want after we sign off.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.